Yeah, actually, I thought that was cool to have the piano and the organ playing together today on the hymns. That was really nice. I have not had that since probably when my mom used to play the piano and she'd have somebody accompany with the organ. That was really fun. I enjoyed that. So thanks for doing that this morning, you two. We're going to start with our memory verse, and you'll see that up on the screen, and we'll say the scripture reference, we'll say the verse together, and then we'll say the reference. Here we go. I think, is this the last Sunday to do that? Or do we have next Sunday yet? Don't we? No, this is the last one. Okay. So here we go. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Isaiah 26:3. I want you to notice one word in there, steadfast. Steadfast. Keep that in your mind as we talk and get into the message this morning. Certainly, I hope everybody had a good weekend. And I know we had lots of rain and different things going on, but still, I think obviously we believe the Lord is good in all situations. And so it's just exciting to be here again this Sunday. You know, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about, pretty much all sorts of things, but talking about Christians being a positive force in a world of negativity and angst and envy and bitterness and all the stuff that can get us down or bother us, not to mention, and of course, this can hit us up mentally, physically. We get anxious and physically we start falling apart because of our stress or whatever it may be, not to mention our spiritual being. I mean, if we live in that negative realm and participate in it all the time, we ourselves spiritually can be damaged. So we live in this world that seeks happiness. We just sang a song that had that word happy in there, you know, happy in the Lord. But I think we seek a different kind of happiness here, right? The pursuit of happiness is what we call it in the Constitution. And we try to pursue that, but many of us and many in the world have trouble finding it, finding the happiness. And that is because really true happiness is an inside thing. It's not. It doesn't come from work. It doesn't come from what you do. It doesn't come from anything else like that. It comes from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, why you are here to begin with, and what your purpose is. Why are we here? And I think once we discover that, that's where we find our true happiness. That's why you were designed and created, to fulfill that purpose that God has given you and given us as a church. And so true happiness, I believe, comes from God. Now, we are always trying to discover new keys to success and work and how to make a better marriage and school life, raising kids, and we do all of that, right, so that we can be happy. We can have this happy life. But after a ton of research, it turns out that across all ethnic, now listen to this, all ethnic, socioeconomic, educational, and psychological demographics, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success in all areas of life. And it is this word, grit. Grit. Now, which, by the way, we'll get into that, also means steadfast. So what a great word, isn't it, grit? How many of you have seen the movie? I know I've asked it before, True Grit, right? John Wayne, one of my, I don't want to call him a hero, but one of my buddies. I really like that guy. And, you know, I made the kids watch the old version before I took them to the new version with Jeff Bridges, and they hated the old version. And it's amazing how technology differs, doesn't it? When you watch the old version, even I started to get bored because there's like 45 minutes of that movie where he's just riding on a horse and there's music. For us back then, that was technology of the day, right? So the new one kind of is a little bit more exciting and action-packed. But in that story, Maddie Ross is a young 14-year-old girl, witnesses her dad being murdered by an outlaw named Tom Chaney. And Maddie she's a tough farm kid, you know, grew up on the farms, very, very strong kid. And she goes to hire the toughest man she could find to track down her father's killer. And she ends up finding this old, overweight marshal who tends to drink a little bit too much by the name of Rooster Cogburn. And he was played by John Wayne. And so when she meets him, she says, you know, they tell me you're a man of true grit. And he had, you know, I've said some of his one-liners before, but I found a couple more for you. Here's a couple. And he says, a young fella, he's talking to a kid that's kind of mocking me. He says, young fella, if you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you. I think we could, a lot of us could use that for our kids, right? Or our sports team or whatever. One character called him an old man, and he said, I wouldn't make it a habit of calling me that, son. And then one was, upon walking or waking up in the morning, he had a rough night. He said to his partner on the ranch, don't say it's a fine morning or I will shoot you. But one of my favorites that I found, I hadn't heard this one, but I like this one. It says, I won't be wronged, I won't be insulted, and I won't be laid a hand on. I don't do these things to other people, and I require the same from them. Very good sense. Well, in the movie, True Grit, Cogburn, Rooster Cogburn, and Maddie, they pursue Chaney till the end. They stick with it. They have this steadfast work thing going on where they're not going to stop until they bring Tom Chaney to justice. Psychologist Angela Lee Duckworth, she made grit the focus of years of study and came up with this definition of what grit is. Grit is the ability to persevere in pursuing a future goal over a long period of time and not giving up. It's having stamina. It's sticking with your future day in, day out, not just for the week, not just for the month, but for years, and working really hard to make the future a reality. Grit is living life like it's a marathon and not a sprint. Well, those who believe in a bright hope for tomorrow, hopefully that's us as Christians, I think they have a lot of grit. They pursue, they stick it out, and they make that future day a reality. Now, the grit we're talking about today is courage. It's bravery, it's mettle, it's backbone, it's spirit, it's strength of character and a strength of will. It's a toughness, it's resolve, it's endurance, it's perseverance, it's determination, it's guts. True grit is the ability to overcome and keep moving forward in the face of adversity or failure or rejection or any kind of obstacles, and understanding that success doesn't happen overnight. That's what we think in the United States, or at least that's what we want. We want success right away tomorrow, and we realize that anything worthwhile takes time to build. So this means for a long-lasting marriage, you need some grit. Now, those of you that have been married, and us, of course, Stacy and I, 30 years, you don't think every single day was fun and laughs and giggles, right? It takes grit, and it takes this strength to make things happen. You're going to face some obstacles along the way. Even new seasons in life, many times, takes a lot of grit. School, work, your vocation, marriage, all of it takes grit. Along the way, we as Christians, we that are to bring the good news to the world, we that are to be the light in the world and for our neighbors and stuff like that and spread Christ's joy, we're going to face countless challenges. If you have not already, you will. Failures, you're going to face setbacks, and those things can become roadblocks to us unless we figure out a way to move forward. And a way to move forward takes grit. It takes sticking to it. And that's what moves us to the goals and the vision God has designed for us as individuals and for us as a church. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many who enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Doesn't take any grit to walk on the wide road, does it? That's the easiest thing in the world. Simply put, it's easy to walk the road of destruction, but the way of real life in Christ is tough. If you look over in the book of Luke, Jesus is talking about the end of the temple. And he's talking about the end of days. And listen to what he says starting in verse 10. He says, nation will rise against nation. There will be earthquakes, famines, fearful events going on. But before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. And you will be brought before synagogues and kings and governors on the account of my name. So you'll be persecuted on the account of Jesus' name. And then Jesus, it continues on. He says, you will be betrayed by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends. Some of you will be put to death, and everyone will hate you because of me. Sounds like a great life to live, doesn't it? Boy, I really want to be a Christian. People are going to hate me. They're going to hate you. And they're going to try and ruin your life. They're going to try and ruin whatever for the Christian. It goes on today. It seems very subtle here in the United States, but it's going on. So how, with all of that and knowing that, can I remain happy in Jesus? I mean, how can I stay joyful? How can you stay joyful in the world in which we live? How can I hope for that better day that Jesus has promised? Well, Jesus gave us a promise. He said in verse 18, Luke chapter 21, still in the same chapter, he says, not a hair on your head will perish. So stand firm and you will win life. And there it is. Have grit. Stand firm. Hold your ground. Persevere. Endure. Now I want you to make a little note to yourself about this hair thing. People read that rather literally. Not a hair of your head will perish. Obviously, if you look at the top of my crown, there are some hairs that are missing. What it really means here is that we will be completely protected by God because we believe in His Son. And it doesn't mean necessarily a physical protection. We are protected spiritually. No matter what happens, we have that better day because we believe in Christ. Is the word grit in the Bible? Nope. But it is there in different words, like steadfastness, determination, again, perseverance and endurance. All words that describe grit and what it takes. So remember, we're talking about being a positive force in our world, a positive force in our community. Well, just because we have the love of Christ in us doesn't mean we won't be attacked or criticized. In fact, living the narrow road means we will be going through some storms, we'll be going through some adversity. And really, when we think about it, we should expect to be attacked. Expect it. Jesus said it would happen. It's right here, though, with adversity where grit is forged. It's when we face those battles in life where grit takes place, if we allow it. James 1, 2 through 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, adversity, whatever it may be, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Look it up in the dictionary and thesaurus, and you'll find the word grit along with that word. Let steadfastness or grit have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There it is. Stick to it. Now, how cool is this? Because of God's love and grace, I want you to think about this. Adversity has a positive effect on those who love Christ. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our resolve as Christians. And so the Bible is chock full of gritty people. That's why it's so fun to read through the Bible. I know some of you still read through the Bible every year since we came on board and say, hey, let's read through it every year. That's why it's so exciting to read the Bible, because every time you read it, you find all these gritty people in there. And some of them are not very good characters, but they sure are gritty, and they sure do love God. Daniel, who defied the king's order to pray to him alone, you remember that? How gritty he was. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to God, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be thrown into the lion's den. Noah, of course, who spent all that time building the ark, took grit to make something like that happen. Moses, of course, led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, and he, put up with the people. I always love that argument he has with God. Moses says, your people. God says, no, they're your people, and they kind of go back and forth with that kind of stuff. But Moses had that grit to lead those people. Joseph was thrown in a pit, you might remember, and later goes to jail. And God eventually blesses him, but it was a lot of grit that got him from point A to point B. Abraham and Sarah were living as strangers in the land. Technically, that's what we are as Christians, believing in God, kind of strangers in the land. And God had called them, but yet they still waited and lived with grit until he fulfilled his promise of a child for them. The disciples, the Apostle Paul, who was shipwrecked and jailed and beaten and you name it. But remember, he remained steadfast. He had grit. There are two others I want to mention, talk a little bit about. The first one lived about 2000, right around 2000 BC. Kind of an old guy, really old now, but back then he was kind of an old guy. And this guy really had some grit. His name was Jacob. And some of you remember the story of Jacob, or I should say the stories of Jacob. He started wrestling in his mother's womb, didn't he? He was wrestling with his twin brother, and he wanted that birthright, So that's where the first wrestling match started. And Jacob kept after that birthright until he sort of swindled it from his brother Esau. And I'm not going to go into all the story, but look up Jacob and Esau. If you don't know the story, read it. It's a great story. But after that, adversity hit. He had to kind of flee. His mother feared that he would be killed by his brother Esau. So adversity hit, and he fled from his family. And along the way, God speaks to him. He ends up meeting the woman of his dreams, Rachel. Ah, persevered. Well, adversity hits again when Rachel's dad, Laban, tricks him into 7 years of work. And instead of marrying Rachel, they kind of switched the ladies, and he ended up marrying Leah. And after 7 years of hard work, so he goes back into adversity. He sticks to another 7 years of hard work, a lot of grit, a lot of struggle and endurance. He endures, and finally he gets to marry Rachel. You'd think it would end there, happy story. Well, adversity hits again when the flocks that he keeps, surpass the flocks of his father-in-law. And so he flees again, and he's pursued. But all that time, he has grit. He sticks with it, and he listens to God as well. Again, he persevered. But then adversity hits again. And this time, his wrestling career was rekindled. You might remember that. He wrestled a man all night long, and he wouldn't let go until he got a blessing. He stuck with it. All that grit he had built up for years, and now he's not letting go. So his hip was thrown out of the socket. But of course, with true grit, determination, he hangs on. He wouldn't let go. And the other wrestler, the Bible says an angel, some people would say this was God himself. The angel said, okay, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. Now that took some grit. Grit. Stick with it till you overcome. It actually means to overcome as well. Jacob, called the place where he wrestled Peniel, because he saw God face to face, and his life was spared. So, of course, Jacob, throughout all of his life, he displayed a lot of grit. And for that, he was blessed. And that name Israel was given to him. You know, there's a country named after him, right? Took a lot of grit. Well, grit is so cool because for the Christian, it comes out of love. So I love God. I want to see others love God. I want others to find home with God and be at peace with God and know Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to be determined to share my faith however I can. The good news of Jesus Christ, no matter what, thick or thin, even through adversity and hardship. That's the way kind of we should be thinking. And I love my family too, right? So I'm going to work hard and provide for them, determined and have grit to provide what they need, not what they want. They have some of those things too, but really we're here to supply what our families need. And when I fail as a Christian, I will endure. How many Christians do we see living throughout the Old Testament, or God-fearing people in the Old Testament, Christians in the New Testament, failing but then coming back? Peter, of course, rejecting Jesus 3 times. So when I fail, I will endure. I'll get back up. I'll go after it again. I'll train harder. I'll love harder. I'll pursue harder. I'll read more about Christ, and I'll rely more on the Holy Spirit. You know, some people with grit, I'm sure you do, right? Fortunately, as a pastor, I get to know a ton of them because I get to visit a lot of people. I get to read about people too, I'm sure you do too, and I get to minister to a lot of people who have run the race and have endured. Just the other day, I went to see Kenny Limp, and you know, most of you know Kenny Limp, but right? Talk about grit. 2 kids and a wife you lose in life. To smile and still laugh and still have a strong faith, that's grit. That's determination to survive. And that's a good thing. But the other person I really want to talk about, because no one can top this person, is Jesus. Right? Because he's the perfect person who loved everyone. He did so many wonderful things, healed bunches of people, he fed thousands, preached the good news, talked about his dad all the time, and yet for it, adversity and hatred, being mocked, spit upon, ridiculed, was the order of the day for Jesus. And yet with true grit, he endured it all for the sake of love, his Father's will, his purpose, his plan of salvation for all people. All people. So he had so much grit, he not only went to the cross, but he was determined to defeat the cross. Determined to defeat death. He was also determined to take our sin away, wasn't he? And he endured the pain of all of that. And he persevered. If anyone was steadfast in purpose, it was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a great example to follow. We have lots of them to follow. But you certainly can't be Jesus as the best example. So no matter who you are, you might be living the dream today, right? You talk to some people, well, I'm living the dream. I'm feeling good, and that's great. Or yeah, you might be too blessed to be stressed, which you know, I like to say now, because I am. I'm too blessed to be stressed out. Or the optimist of the month. You might be part of that club, right? Very positive. But all of us would agree that life is hard and that there is adversity. And Jesus tells us so in Matthew 7:14. You might remember talking about that narrow road and the small gate that we need to walk through. And even in John 16:33, he tells us that in this world, we will have trouble. Anybody in here not have trouble? I'm not raising my hand. I'm just, right? How about adversity? Some of you have some adversity, I would imagine. The good thing is that adversity produces grit. Jesus says we can take heart because he has overcome the world. And you overcome when you have grit, when you stick to it, when you endure, when you persevere. True grit, though, I really believe this, true grit really only comes by way of Jesus Christ. You can't manufacture it yourself. There may be some tough people around, right? But I think that true grit only comes from Jesus Christ. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. So with all that said, we can still be that positive force in the world, can't we? As we live in grit. And as we allow adversity or trouble, whatever may be coming our way, as we allow that to produce that grit within us that really keeps a smile on our face. And you know, next week, we're going to be talking about the pharmacist that lives in you. And I would ask, do you all know that you really are a pharmacist? You are. You're a pharmacist. If you believe in Christ, you're a pharmacist. And I want you to come next week and maybe bring somebody with you and find out how you become a pharmacist without going to school. Now, don't think that you're going to be dispensing drugs out in the marketplace. We're not doing that. But we're talking about a Jesus kind of pharmacist. And it's really kind of neat, some of the studies they've been doing on those things. So I hope you'll join us next week. And then for those of you that, you know, maybe need to rededicate your heart or whatever it may be, you need some prayer time, I'm always here following the service or any time. You can call me during the week. I'd love to pray with you and sit and talk or whatever it is. Would you give me a call? Give Pastor Tim a call. Maybe call one of your deacons if you need some help spiritually or whatever it may be. Because we really do want to help. And we really want to be a positive force in your life so that you can go out as well and lead other people to Jesus. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. And of course, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us. We thank you for his grit, his stick-to-itiveness, just everything that he did. And what's so fantastic is it all leads us back to him. And it gives us that true sense of peace and that true happiness that only can be found in you. And so again, we say thank you, we honor you, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that only you can make all of it happen in our lives. Would you give us direction? Would you give each of us individually, as families, as church, focus, that we may always look at you and never take our eyes off of you? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me and let's sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.